I'll read from 1 John, okay, chapter 1. There is a reason why I'm doing this. And afterwards in the lesson, we will begin to see why, okay? And hopefully it will actually impress upon our hearts so strongly what God says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. After this, then 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. We're going to be doing the light test today. The indication number two, the marks of a maturing disciple of Christ. Okay? Is everyone okay with the lights off? Just for a moment. Yeah? Okay? I can see some people's white teeth. It should be okay. I can see your white teeth. So, which means that... So, please don't fall asleep. Okay? Because if I switch on the light, it may be a bit embarrassing. Okay. Right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. I'll read verse 5 and you try to read verse 6. Okay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Tell you what, I'll just read the 5 verses, alright? Then you try to follow along with whatever light you have. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we come before your holy presence today. Thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Bible tells us, the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Lord, tonight we pray that thy light will illuminate our darkened hearts in the areas it needs to illuminate. And Father, we pray with all of our hearts tonight, Lord, you will open our hearts by the light of your word. Even as we take this light test, God, that before you, Lord, we will put ourselves before you, allowing your word to search us. Father, I pray that you will take this unworthy servant as your instrument to deliver this message. We pray, Father, that thy word will be so clear to us. And God will thank you for what you're going to achieve tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I'll be doing three parts. One is very quickly go through an exposition of this particular passage. Number two, we'll go through three lessons from there. All right? And then finally, we'll look at a checklist, okay, that you actually have in your handout there. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you. All right, so the apostles had received this message from God. Okay, they have received this message from God. And what is that message? He's declaring to the Christians that God is light. The word God there means theos. And the word light is an interesting word because the word light actually means a source of light, what you call a luminaries, a place that gives us light. Now, in this whole room, it's dark. There's one source of light, or rather the biggest source of light, which is this table lamp. Right? Okay, from this lamp actually illuminates this whole area. But the light actually comes from inside, or rather not comes from inside. Of course, there's electricity, all right? We're not going to go into all the physics of the whole thing. And some of you actually have light, okay? One of my children brought a torchlight as well, okay? Some of you actually have special lamps that you have in your Bible. But the Bible says God is light. God is the origin of light. And from the source of light, John then goes on to say over in the negative, the positive part is God is light. Light emanates out of God. And within the light source, there is zero darkness. Does that make sense? Absolutely zero darkness. You cannot find a darkness. That's what John wanted to tell the people. John wanted to tell these people that God is light. And in God, there is zero darkness. No sin, no evil whatsoever. Okay? At the heart of the teaching with regards to God, God is all holy. There is not one speck of sin that you can even find in God. Our God is that holy. The Bible says in the book of Job, even the heavens are unclean in His sight. Did you know that? Even though man hasn't gone into the universe, God says, already declared in the book of Job, even the heavens are unclean in God's sight. Which means that God, when He actually creates a new heaven and new earth, has to get rid of this entire creation before He puts in the next one. Because of sin, alright? And so, God is absolutely holy. There is no darkness whatsoever in His thoughts, in His heart, in His action, in His words, in His plan. Everything that God does is absolutely perfection. Alright? Now in verse 6. If therefore, John says, if we declare that we have fellowship with God. If we as His people say we have fellowship. The word fellowship here means to have communion with Him. To have a time whereby we sit down, we chat, and you know, I'm sure many of us have good friends whereby we sit down and just chat, and you know that there's nothing between us, and we can just go ahead. So John is saying, if we say we can have that kind of communion with God, but then on the other hand, walk in darkness. The word walk there means to be occupied with darkness. It means to be involved in darkness. The word darkness there is interesting. The word dark there has the idea of shady, obscure. In other words, there, somewhere in our fellowship with God, there's an area that is shady. There are some shadows. Okay? It's interesting, on Sunday we'll be preaching about heaven, teaching about heaven. But it's interesting, do you realize heaven, there's no shadows? You know why? Because there's no darkness in heaven. And everything is light. Okay? Shadows only come if there is something that blocks light. Does that make sense? And so John is trying to tell the people here, if God is all bright, all God is the luminary, and in Him is no darkness, and we say we have fellowship with Him, but then on the other hand, we are occupied in some shady aspects of this life or shady things in our hearts. You know what God says? We are lying and we are not doing the truth. The word lie means we actually have falsehood in our lives. I want you to follow along this passage. Very important as we take this light test to understand what John is saying. It means that there are some falsehood. The word lie there comes from the word pseudo. You know pseudo? Pseudo means a false one. Okay? We are pseudos. We have falsehood and we are not doing the truth. The word doing the truth has to do with being right and honest and upright and not being consistent with the truth that we have learned. In other words, there was this group of Christians during John's time when he was teaching them. He is telling them, look, if you say that you have fellowship with God, but then on the other hand, there's something shady about your relationship, either with man or God, and you are involved in some form of sin, then you are not acting consistently. Why? Because God is all light. And if we are His children, we need to be all light. Does that make sense? That was what John was trying to drive across. Verse number 7. But on the other hand, he says, but if we walk in the light, if we are occupied in the truth, if we are occupied in the luminary, just like now, okay, if I share around, is that bright, right? Wow, sorry. Yeah, you need to get acclimatized to that. Yeah. It's interesting the response. When I actually showed, some people actually did this. You know why? That reminds me of another verse. What's the verse that comes? A man loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds were evil. John chapter 3. But it's interesting, the initial shock of the light. That is why when we expose lies, that we expose lifestyles based on God's word, there's an initial reaction of pushing away. I want to keep. But don't show me the Bible. I had one time whereby I was in a group of church leaders many years ago. When I brought out the Bible, that one person actually said, "Don't show me the Bible." And we are in a group of church leaders. Okay? They don't show me the Bible. When I shown that, some of you actually did this. You know what? When genuine light shines into darkness, there will be that reaction. That's why many people don't like Christians who live the truth. Alright, so I just want to, as an aside, because I saw the response there. But if we walk in the light, if we are occupied with the truth, if we are occupied with doing what is right, the word light there, once again, is luminary. That is, if we are involved and occupied with the fire, staying close to the light source. Now, if I ask you all to move forward to the light source, you will find that you don't have to. Some of you are wasting electricity. I'm sorry. Your light's okay. You may lose whatever. But, you know, if you move towards the light, if I shine it this way, and we come, you will have the light. You're involved in the light. The Word of God is constantly there, and you're involved in the light. And so John says, if you walk and occupy yourself in the light, two things happen. We have fellowship one with another. In other words, if you're doing the right thing, if you're following God, and I'm following God, there's nothing between us. And John says, we have fellowship one with another. There was this group of people who claimed to be Christians called the agnostics during that time. They believed very much that I can say I believe in God, but because God is so far away, I can do what I want. Okay, we're doing that when doing another test in 1 John chapter 3, whereby they say that, oh, I'm safe, I'm going to heaven, but God is so far away, He's not a personal God, and you know, the body is all evil, so let's just live and let live, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. Anyway, I'm going to heaven. But John says, look, if God is all light and there's no sin in Him, it's not possible for Christians to be engaged in sin and then have fellowship with one another. Does it make sense? It's inconsistent with genuine Bible truth. All right, that's what John was trying to say here. We have fellowship, two things. If you're walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Okay? Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, now, what we are in this particular passage, we have to watch out for him because he's all black. We might not be able to find him afterwards. Okay. If we say that we have no sin, in this situation, John moves on to another one. The first one is talking about inconsistency, but the second one is talking about self-righteousness. If we say that we have no sin, I'm okay. I'm okay, what? I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's interesting because the word here, if we say, if we answer if that we have no sin, self-righteousness, I'm okay. The word deceive means this. We seduce ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We literally go astray from the truth. That's what the word deceive means. Okay? And God's truth is not in us. We can claim to be Christians till the cows come home. God says, you are not following the truth. Alright? But then in verse 9, if we confess our sin, if we acknowledge, yes, Lord, you are right, I'm wrong. Remember, in confession of sin, the word confession means a few things. Number one, I agree with you that I am wrong. Okay? That's genuine confession. And the way I say it is, yes, I'm wrong, and I make no excuse whatsoever. I'm wrong means I'm wrong. Even if I'm 10% wrong, you are 90% wrong, I will still say, once I'm wrong for the 10%, and I will not confess. I will not try to excuse myself. Okay? Genuine confession with God means, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. But I will not say, but God, you know, you must understand me, the situations. Once we go into that, that's not genuine confession. That's trying to protect yourself. And unless and until we come to a place of genuine confession and say, yes, I'm wrong, means I'm wrong, means I'm wrong. Remember King David? When Prophet Nathan said, you are the one who killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. You know what David says? Lord, I've sinned. He didn't even try to defend himself. That's genuine confession. Today, modern day Singaporeans is, I know I'm wrong, but you also what? Huh? I know I'm wrong, but you also said that what? Once we go into that, listen carefully, in all kinds of relationships, when you say that kind of thing, it's not genuine confession, and there will not be forgiveness. Why? Because you have not given up that sin. Alright? In terms of confession. In verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess, if we assent, if we give agreement to the fact that we have sinned, then God is faithful and just to forgive us. And until then, God can't. Not that He doesn't want to, He can't. Does that make sense? And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in verse number 10, if we then say that we have not sinned. Now within the last verse, there's this heresy of sinless perfection. There are some people who claim that they have reached the point of sinless perfection. Bible makes it clear it's never possible in this life, okay? And they say that if we do that, we are saying God is a liar. Alright? So that's the first passage. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Okay? We just hang on for a little while. After this, we'll turn on the lights. Okay. I think some people are falling asleep. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, he that saith... Remember, we're talking about the test of light, okay? He that saith... The word saith means the person who boasts. Ah, I'm a light. I'm a Christian, you know? Can't you see my cross? I go to church on Sunday. I carry my Bible. I even have three types of translations on my handphone. iPhone, whatever. And I'm a Christian. He that boasteth that he is in the light and then hateth. You know, when I study this passage, the word hateth means to detest. There are some degrees in that particular word. There's two words that was used in the dictionary when I was looking up. The word hateth means to detest or to love less. That tells me that the word hate included in that, there are degrees of your hatred. Okay? But ultimately, if someone who looks at someone and say, that kind of attitude, John says, if we boast that we are Christian, we are serving the Lord, and yet on the other hand, we have some sort of liking someone, loving someone less, that even if something happens to that person, you don't do anything. Or you will listen and say, okay, and then just stand there and do nothing. You know what John tells them in verse 9? It's in darkness. You know what kind of darkness? This kind of darkness. If let's say as a pastor I preach, and yet, you can't see me now, can you? Of course you can with acclimatization or just... You know what, if I say that I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to love everyone and preach the truth, but yet in my life there's some shady parts, or I don't love someone, you know what? I'm preaching just the same way I'm preaching now. You can't see me. There's nothing there. Does it make sense? That's what God is saying. The test of light. If we say that we are Christians, but we hate our brother, we are in darkness. Notice further in verse 10. But he that loveth his brother, not the positive part, abides in the light. Okay, so just now was like this. I don't love my brother when I preach. So God says you're in darkness. But if I say I'm a Christian and I love my brother, I'm staying with the light. And God's word is continuously illuminated. And every time I've sinned in my life, the Holy Spirit has to do this. When I look, I got a screen, I can see lines, but I can't get any benefit of Bible reading. Why? Because there is darkness. Notice what verse 10 says. If I actually love a brother, I'm remaining in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know the word is interesting. You know the word stumbling comes from the Greek word that we get the word scandal from. It's a Greek word scandalion. Scandalon. Okay? In other words, if I love my brother, I remain in the light, and there is no scandal between us. No scandal. There's no offense. Nothing that I can bring out as a tool to fight between one another. Okay? So, in this test of light, John makes it clear, if we are genuinely remaining with the source of light, Christ, there is no scandal, no offense. But in verse 11, verse 11 is so strong when John says, and you must understand Apostle John. Apostle John is very... In Hokkien terms, you say very cholo. You know, it's cholo. What do you call it? Very rough. In other words, he'll just give it to you. Wow, you so handsome today, ah? wow, your hand, hair, you use brow cream, or something. Those maybe older, you know what's brow cream. Or you use, or some, so, and they are very, very direct with you, okay? That's John. John will just give it to you. He doesn't try to color his words. But in verse 11, notice what he said. If you hate your brother, if we say we are Christians, but on the other hand, we say we don't love this person, or, I cannot stand that person, you know what John says? You are actually walking in darkness. You are actually walking in darkness. You are walking in darkness. That's what John says. He says, he that hated his brother is in darkness. Is in darkness. Is the what you call a historical presence. Is in. You're in a condition of darkness. You're in a condition of darkness. Now, Brother Johnny, what does that mean in terms of, I'm doing all the right things. Yeah, the modern day commentary, the modern day explanation is, I'm doing all these things, what? So it's just a little part only. Why are you so uptight about the small little part of my life? Huh? Just a small part only. I've been doing this for God and for my family and for my friends, and I've been a good friend. But just this part, what's the big deal, you know? How many of you have read stories of people who, I think many years ago, there was this army captain, very fit, very fit, okay? He jogs regularly, and I think it was an IPPT or what, I cannot remember, but he was on a jog and all that. And in the midst of the jog, what happened to him? He had a heart attack and died. Fit captain, many times the story in the newspaper, this guy was so fit. And perhaps they find there was a clot. Do you know how much it takes to cause a stroke in someone? Know how much it takes? It just takes, we all, in our bodies, there are blood capillaries, okay? Blood capillaries, there are arteries, and then there are arterioles, and then there are capillaries. These are really, really small things that go and supply parts of the brain, okay? The really small one can be as thin as a 1 millimeter, the blood that goes through. A fat may be able to be broken off and floated into the bloodstream. And if the fat can actually float all around the body and get lodged into one of these small capillary, and once it gets stuck, the blood cannot go through, the capillary that supplies that part of the brain actually cuts off, and that part dies within 4 minutes if there's no additional oxygen coming in. That's why people get a stroke. Okay? And can I say this? That damage is irreversible. Irreversible. In other words, once that part of the brain dies, the brain dies. Okay? A small part. You know, one of the things, if you've been a Christian long enough, you realize one thing. Our God is very particular about darkness. Very particular about small things. You know why? Because the small things become the big things. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. It's a bit hard, but never mind. I'll turn there. I think you won't understand when I say this. In Revelation chapter 2, I'll just read, and you listen to what Jesus said as he was looking at the churches during that time. I'll just read, you listen, in verse number 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Lord Jesus, being head of the church, says, well, church at Ephesus, I know the good things you guys are doing. For my sake, you are laboring, you are fighting hard to maintain the truth, and doctrinally you are fine, and all that. You know what, in verse 5 he said, but nevertheless. You know the word nevertheless means what? It literally has three words there. Never, the, less. As much as you're doing all these things, what I'm going to bring up is nevertheless compared to what you're doing. In other words, it's on the same level. And you know what? The Lord Jesus only had one thing against the church at Ephesus. What was that? They've left their first love. Their first love is divided into three areas. One, love for God. Two, love for the brethren. And three, love for the world. They have left your first love. Because if you have genuine love from God, you will love Him back, you love your brother,
and you love the world. But Jesus said, you just left your first love. That's all the problem you had. It's just one. You guys are doing a great job. Just one. Just one. It's just like kind of telling someone, you know, you got six subjects, but you must pass this one. You don't pass this one, you don't make it. Can I say this? We may be walking in the light in many areas, but if there's one area that is in darkness, especially, let's turn back to 1 John, and John actually highlights this as a big issue with the early church, the Christians he was talking to. So if you hate your brother, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Not only are you in a condition of darkness, you are being occupied in darkness. In other words, everything that you do all around you is like this. It's like this. There was one time, as I share with you this in darkness, you try to pay attention. I think it's a bit hard. Okay. I was doing infantry training in Singapore, one of the jungles. And you know, in infantry, we are supposed to be able to see in the dark. Okay, but I got night blindness, so I'm very scared every time. And so I was the first person in the platoon. And so I after a while, I got a bit nervous because I couldn't really see in the dark. Okay, and so as I was walking, I decided to switch on the light, which was against the rules. And I thank God I did that, even though I got scolded. You know why? Because as I was walking, and the moment I switched on the light, there was this big spider web with this spider right in the middle, the size of my palm. In the jungle. It's like, whoa! And thank God I switched on the light. Okay, in the jungle, you find all kinds of funny things there. Well, you know what? Thank God. All right? There was another time when I told my... There was this long thing, about this long, about this size, about 1 meter. And I was telling my... Hey, sir, got snake! And he looked at me. And he called me a word. Call me a name, or something silly. Or like, that's not a snake, that's a centipede. That was in another country's jungle. It's about this 1 meter. That was a centipede. It's like, okay, you know. You find many funny things in the jungle. But can you imagine living your life like this? Can you imagine living your life like this? That's what the Apostle John was telling those Christians. If you say you walk in the light, but you hate your brother, you are living your life like this, in darkness. Not only that, because, and doesn't know where you're, knoweth not with whether he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Before we go to the lesson, I'm going to switch on the light, alright? Okay, switch on the light. Okay, you might take a time. Sometimes to acclimatize. Feeling better? So you sign on the light there. You don't think I'll be able to go through the whole thing? People are already falling asleep. Eh? Very nice, right? Full concentration. Okay. But any questions up to there? Any questions up to there? Lessons to take note of. Three main lessons. Number one, lessons to take note of before we take the test personally. Right? In God is complete light. And those who are Christians are to walk in complete light. If you're a genuine Christian, we must be in light. We must be in the light. I think that's pretty obvious from the passage we've learned. In other words, when we are actually... We call ourselves Christians because our Heavenly Father is all light. And when He loves us, and when He loves us, His love is put into our hearts. And what comes out should be God's light and God's love. Okay? So lesson number one, in God is complete light, and those who are Christians are to walk in complete light. In every aspect. You know, one of the things in my heart, and I hope as a church, well, the vision for Ambassador Baptist Church is a compassionate church. And we've learned that compassion in the Bible is when God touches our heart so much that when we look at someone, we must do something to help the person if he's in need. Because that's an expression of the love of Jesus Christ. You realize if you read every passage in the Gospels, everywhere Jesus Christ went, whenever he saw a need, he always met that need. Only when they didn't want him to. You remember? Everywhere that Jesus went, he always met that need, unless the people don't want him to. That's why he had to scold certain cities because of their unbelief. He couldn't do many mighty things. All right? So number one, God is complete light, and those who are Christians must walk in the light. Number two, when we know that God is light, that's what John is always pressing in these few verses, but when we know that God is light, but then when we deliberately walk in darkness, these are the Christians who know what is the right thing to do and yet give reasons for not doing it. And not even going into the heretical teaching of the agnostics. Many Christians in modern-day Singapore and modern-day Christianity knows what is the right thing to do, but they choose not to do it. As your shepherd, can I say this? We walk in darkness. That's what Paul John says. When we, on the one hand, say, oh, we're Christians doing all these things, but we have areas of our lives that we know obviously is wrong, and yet we continue. You know what John says? We are walking in darkness. We are walking in darkness. And the following are the consequences. Number one, in verse 6 of chapter 1, in the eyes of God, we are lying. Our lives are lying. Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? God had to convict me first. And say, Johnny, as you teach this, you make sure there's no darkness. Can I say this? I want to be clear here. When God shows you something in your life, perhaps right now, perhaps something comes out, that is the thing God wants you to deal with. Okay? Some people say, oh, I'm so young. God, I'm always full of darkness. Then I'll ask, which one did God show you? I don't know, like, just full of darkness. Can I say this? We are all full of darkness somewhere in our lives. Okay? But we need to deal with the thing that the doctor tells us to deal with. Does that make sense? We all have weaknesses in our lives. All have weaknesses in our life. But we have to deal with the one that the doctor says we have to deal with. Does that make sense? Can I say that we are all full of imperfections, but we need to deal with the one God brings to the surface. That's the one he wants us to deal with. Some people will always say, oh, I'm so full of imperfections, I cannot serve God. Then you know what? We need to be very clear. Because you know, one of the things that some branch of Christianity will get us to, oh, we're all sinners, so we cannot serve God. You know, the fact that I'm a pastor is God's grace. The fact that you're a Christian is God's grace. There's nothing else. There's no other things is involved. It's just God's grace. The fact that God allows us to hear his word and then we respond to it is purely God's grace. The fact that some of you have overcome sin is God's grace. The fact that your family's intact is God's grace. The fact that my family's intact is God's grace. That my mom trusted Christ is God's grace. That some of your children come to Christ is God's grace. You know? But you know, because we're unworthy, we're undeserving because of sin. And you know what? I can tell you, if you were to point finger at me, you could probably find 1,000 things wrong with Brother Johnny. Too fat, too tall, not enough hair. Maybe some things I like to say that's wrong and you can't stand it kind of thing. My color combination. I'm not particularly good. You know, after this, people start looking at how I dress. Not there. Hopefully you don't do that. But you know what? If we want to pick on things, we will. But you know what is important? When God brings up something to our lives, that's the thing he wants us to deal with. And so that's what John is trying to encourage us. When we know that God is light but walk in darkness, these are the Christians who know the right thing to do and yet give reasons why they don't want to do it. Number one, according to verse 6, the Bible says, we lie. We are false. We are false Christians. It may not mean that we're not saved, but God says our life is false. Oh, wow. That's heavy stuff. But you know, that's what God says. We lie and we are not living our lives consistent with the truth of God and his word. We lie and do not the truth. Our lives are no longer consistent with God's word. Number two, consequence. And then God says what? We walk in darkness. Our lives are occupied in darkness. Just like when we switch off all the light. You know, I think we all don't like to live in that kind of condition whereby we don't have light. Can you imagine this world without light? Can you imagine this world without light? Can you imagine? In some countries of the world, I think some parts of Philippines, whereby there's no street lamps, lights only you see from the houses, right? And there was one time, when, I think it was in November time, there's this patron saint, there's this black Jesus or something. I don't know. And Pastor Sumatra woke us up at 3 a.m. in the morning and he was supposed to follow him to somewhere. And his brake spoiled and he was using the light to fix. And there was this whole procession. I don't know whether it's November time. I don't know. There's some patron saint or something. A black Nazarene, yeah, correct. It might be a black Nazarene. And it's like, it's so scary. I closed Jairus' face. It's so scary because it's like, and it's at night, and because it's at 4 a.m. in the morning, and there's this black guy, totally just black, walking. And then I think our children are a bit sleepy, so they're inside. But it's so scary, like a black Nazarene just walking past. No, it's just so scary. Can you imagine this whole world without light? What's the first thing God created? And God said, let there be light. The first thing, let me illuminate this whole world. They need this. Not only do you need light to see, the vegetation need lights to grow. Right? We need warmth. He said, I just give you this very interesting illustration. You can meditate on this. There was one guy who told me, you know, what God creates is always so encouraging, but what man creates always destroy. So he made a comparison. If you stand on a mountaintop, okay, stay on a mountaintop, you are hit with the fastest missile. What's the fastest missile that we have? Tim? Anyone? Fastest missile. the fastest rocket in this world is you need a very fast speed to break through the atmosphere. So I understand it to be a 20,000 miles per hour. Okay, you need to have that kind of speed. Okay, imagine a missile flying at you maybe at 5,000 kilometers per hour. Hits you. What happens to you when you get hit by a missile? What happens to you? You become history. Eh? You're gone. How fast is light? 300,000 kilometers per second? 186,000 miles per second? What happens when light hits you? So he was making the comparison. What God creates at that kind of speed gives you warmth and encouragement and growth. When man creates something, it kills you. Not all the time, not all the time, but that's just an encouraging comparison. But you know, God says that if we know what is right, but we walk in darkness, God says we are lying, our lives are not consistent with God's truth, and He says we are occupied in darkness. We are living our lives in darkness. And then another consequence in verse 8, we become self-righteous when we think we do not need to change. Oh, this is so important. One of the things God has taught me, and I hope all of us will learn, to have a tender heart. To have a tender heart that we are not beyond change. If Jesus is a standard, all of us have a long way to go. But you know, that's why we encourage one another, you know. I may not be able to run as fast, but God, I can take a small step here. That's all God asked for. But you know, in John, when he was addressing the Christians, some of them feel that they have no sin. I'm okay. I don't need to change. I can just live life the way I am and that's fine. But you know what? We deceive ourselves. God says we become self-righteous when we think we do not need to change. We go astray from the truth. This is very important. If we say that we have no sin, in other words, we feel that we are beyond change and we don't want to change, God says we are actually going astray. We deceive ourselves means we go astray from the truth and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. I'll just read this. There are some people who come to church or they read the Bible, they hear God's word, but does nothing with the word of God that has been taught. They become judges of the word more than being in submission to the word. If that for us, we need to have this attitude. If what is preached hits me or what I read hits me, that's what I need. But John is saying these are the people that John is addressing. They say they are okay. But John says you are deceiving yourself. If something hits you, then that's the area that God wants you to change. That's what John is referring to. Okay? And then in verse 10, so in this particular point, we become self-righteous if we think we don't need to change. Have you grown since the beginning of this year? Have you grown? 5 months? Is it a reasonable time to change? 5 months, is it reasonable? Some people may think 1 year, fine. But you know what? There needs to be some even if it's just a heart change, whereby last time I used to like this, but you know what, I know it's wrong, and it took me some time, but I'm there now. I really don't like that now. Do you find that in your life? Do you find that you have changed from last year, your Christian life? Have you put in any steps into your Christian life? Do you realize your Christian relationship is the most important relationship you will ever have in this world? Because one day you will meet the Creator, the Lord Jesus Himself. Alright? So we're not above change. And so may God help us here never to have that attitude that I have no sin. There's nothing wrong in me. I can just go on where the way I am. In verse 10, another consequence of knowing that God is light but walking in darkness is we call God a liar in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish that which I have sent it to. Right, that's a paraphrase. But you know what God is saying? Every time the word of God is preached, every time you read the Bible, there is something that God wants from us. Something that God will speak to us about. Whether to encourage us, whether to say, hey, this area I want you to work a little bit more on. I want you to be encouraged in this area. Okay? We're calling God a liar. And then in chapter 2, verse 9, the consequence of knowing what is right but not doing it. This is not talking about loving your brother. If we do not love our brother, in verse 9, chapter 2, but we love them less, God says we are still in darkness and we do not have the light of God in our lives. Let me say this, that God will encourage us in the areas of growth that we are going to. But you know what? If there is one area in our life that is a problem, you realize that sin will permeate, will spread. Let's say if you keep the whole house clean, right? You keep the whole house clean, but there is one muddy slipper at this corner. This is a small thing, right? One muddy slipper at this corner. Mothers, what is your suggestion to ensure the entire house is clean and you deal with this muddy slipper? Or you just leave it there? Maybe this side. What is your suggestion? So what would you do? Throw this. Why? You see, can use. Okay, Lydia? What do you do? How? Okay, wash it outside. But the whole house is. But the mud is drippy. Yeah, throw away. Take some plastic. Okay. Alright, what about this side? The mothers. Mothers, what would you do if you have one muddy slipper that's drippy? Your whole house is clean. Let's make it a bit harder, lah. The exit is out there. You have to go past. So what would you do? Take slipper, take plastic or whatever. So what would you all do? Take a plastic bag to clean it. Is it possible that the mud may flow through the plastic bag? We don't know. But why? Why? Little bit only, what? Just leave it there, lah. Huh? Just leave it there. Why is it so great? Why? Because things can happen from there, right? The children may come, Mommy, what is that? How come you put chocolate at the corner? Or something like that. Go, oi! It happened before. People think kaya is wasabi or wasabi is kaya. But just some people, okay, they just misperceive, you know. Do you know what? Some of us live Christian lives like this. Just okay, just a little bit, just at the side only, never mind. God actually says, if we do not love our brother, we will constantly be under the threat of being contaminated. Constantly. Satan, you know what Satan wants? Satan doesn't need a big foothold, he just needs a toehold or a finger hole in your life. You know, if you have a salesman coming in, it happened to my wife before. I wanted to call the company and scold them. But, you know, when she tried to close the door, they actually put their hand in or something like that. Just block the door. Something like that. You know, once you do that, you keep pressing, you're hurting him already. So because of our kindness, we don't want to hurt him. But what Satan does is just put a hand in. And he can just put a hand in for a long time. Satan is very patient. Do you realize Satan is very patient? Realize the devil is very patient? When we least expect it, that's when he comes in. In a moment of weakness, that's where he will attack us. You know, some people say, well, Johnny, why you always preach about sin? Because I know sin can destroy you. Hatred in your heart can destroy you. You don't love your brother, it can destroy you. It can destroy your family. It spreads. You know, when John says this, he loved the people. And that's why he says, if you do not allow God's love to change you, you will continually be occupied in darkness. And notice the last part in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. This is so, to me, it's so, I would want to beg you to make changes in your life based on this verse. He that hateth his brother, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know what John is saying? Because of the lack of love for someone, it actually blinds your direction in life. And you think that everything is okay. And your reason is everything is okay. But John says, no, there's one part that is not right. You got to deal with that, because otherwise it becomes a smoke screen for your entire life. And the way you go, guess what? You not only deceive yourself, you affect everyone else. And fathers, if we are in that condition, we will deceive our entire family to hell, some of them. All right, we need to be careful. If there's a sin, if there's a hatred in our hearts, you will find that it's a very poisonous thing. If we do not love our brother, we show that we are occupied in darkness. We do not know the direction that we are taking our lives. Why this is important? Because the reasoning that we use to justify why we do not love the brother becomes the prevailing truth in every area of our lives, and it will determine how we treat people. I have literally been treated in the same way someone treats someone else. And I think you have to say, hey, I'm not your so-and-so, I'm not your wife. You know why you say the same thing to me? Why? Because the lack of love blinds you, and you will see everyone in the light of that person. Don't believe me? There's so many hurting people in themselves. You know what? People who hurt others, I agree, Pastor John, yes, totally. Hurting people oftentimes hurtful people, oftentimes hurting people. They hurt other people. You know why people hurt other people? To protect themselves from being hurt. No, Christians, if we see that, you know what we need to do? Don't fight them, pray for them. Because there's something that God needs to work in their lives. But you know, this is so telling, as God tells us, if we have that thing in our lives, we don't even know where we're going. Oh yeah, we may have plans, but the plans may not take us the right direction. Why? Because that is a blindness that has blinded our eyes. Okay? Lesson number 3. However, on the positive side, but any questions for the negative one first? The consequences? Any? Number 3. Walking consistently, lesson number 3. Walking consistently with the light of God's truth will give rise to the following. Number 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, guess what? We have fellowship one with another. We have genuine fellowship. You know, there are some brothers in Christ that says in Christ, you can just sit down and just talk about anything. You know, and we know there's nothing hidden, and we don't have to judge that person, and we are free in front of that person, right? Amen? That is the type of fellowship the early church had, and that's a fellowship by God's grace ambassador will have. I can come up to anyone, any sister, brother, we can talk about things and laugh, and there's nothing. Because why? We're walking in the light. Think about this. Your spiritual life determines your friendships. That's what John is saying. Your spiritual life determines your friendship. And I think you know, if there's something that you have to hide, you always have to be on guard. That's not the life Jesus wants us to live. But when we walk consistently with the light of God, what God tells us, we have genuine fellowship. We don't have to hide, number one. Number two, we have a clear conscience. Verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have a clear conscience. When I come to a brother whom I know have done certain things in this life, but you know what? We're walking in the light. We want to do what is right. As far as he's concerned, Christ has cleansed him. As far as I'm concerned, Christ has cleansed me. When I speak to him, there's no need to bring out those things. It's over. We have clear conscience. We can just move on in our Christian life and our relationship. Okay? So we have a clear conscience in our life as Christ cleanses us from all sin. Number 3. But you know, we've done wrong, but we're walking in the light. Guess what? Can I say this? When we have done wrong, and we are genuinely in the light, you know what's the first thing that you will do? You confess. You confess. The first thing you will do, I'm sorry, why did I do that? You know, that kind of thing. And really sorry, will you forgive me? Tell you what, I give you $10 Kinokuniya voucher or something just to make up. And can I say this? This is a very important principle of Christian restoration of relationships. If you hurt someone, if you've offended someone, don't just say sorry, do all you can to make it up. cook sinigang or whatever, you know, bring a pie over, or that's American, play soccer with the person and just spend some time saying, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You know what? Today, all we say is, paisei, sorry, paisei. No, it's not sorry, paisei. It doesn't help. You know what? Show your sincerity or reconciliation by going an extra mile for that person. Okay? A person walking in the light, when you've done wrong, the first thing will always be, I want to immediately get back into the light again. How many of you were uncomfortable when I switched on off the light, honestly, just now? How many of you? Why were you uncomfortable, Joseph? Why are you uncomfortable? Huh? Again? You like the dark. I think parents, you have some things. But you say you're uncomfortable with the darkness just now. You're uncomfortable with the darkness. I think you do well in infantry. You're not scared of the dark, huh? Really? Sure? You sure you have said no sin? but how many of you are on some of you, how many of you were surprised that I switched off the lights? How many of you were surprised? What was the thought that went through your mind? Why? Were you afraid or all kinds of funny thoughts? And probably the first thing, probably in this situation, you probably heard, okay, it might be object lesson or whatever. But you know what? If we go into a house, someone switch off. Let's say, okay, let's have this. You're in the kitchen, okay, and then it's at night, and then you're just putting some things, maybe cleaning up cloth, or maybe a service balcony, and it's in the night, and someone switches the light off. What would you say? Oi!
Yeah.
Why? Because you want the light on. Why? Okay? Unless it's like 3 a.m. in the morning. But you know what? Immediately you want to get back into the light. Does that make sense? Christians, can I say this? If you're generally walking in the light, when you've done something wrong, immediately get back into the light. And the way you do that is by confession. Okay? Confession, repentance, very important. Walking consistently to light will give rise to confession of sin. Okay? Walking consistently in the light, the next one, is you will love your brother or sister consistently. Consistently. In other words, I know as humans, our love is not perfect, but when we love, we will say, okay, I love to the best of my ability. I help to the best of my ability. If I cannot, I say I cannot. Okay? Nothing to hide. Because of this love, there will be no scandal and no offenses. Okay? Let me put it this way. This has to be two-way. When we love someone, and let's say if we love someone and someone doesn't respond, what do you do? Let's say if you're helping and helping and helping and helping and helping and helping and helping this person and do all you can and showing your love and all that, and after this person, all you give is a cold shoulder, don't want to talk to you. And all. What do you do? What should we as Christians do? Sorry, sir? You sure you can do that? Okay, why? Why should I? Why? If I try keep on loving someone but a person don't respond, I've known people who are giving up loving other people even as Christians because they don't reciprocate. What I'm going to say is it's not going to be easy. What Sarah said, that was exactly spot on. That's what Jesus taught us. Jesus actually said, love your enemies. And when Jesus said that to the Jewish people, he says, love those that will put you in prison, that will make fun of you, that will humiliate you. You love them. He said, over my dead body. Yeah, some of them actually died because they tried to fight the Roman soldiers. You know, when Jesus gave those principles to us, he knew we couldn't do it. But you know what? He set the example for us. Amen? On the cross, remember when they crucified him, what did he say? Father, forgive them. With tears in his eyes, get this, when you actually love someone, you are becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only that, I need to tell you this, for Jesus to forgive them, he has to be nailed to the cross. Which means that when you do what you feel hard to do to love the other person, despite what they have done to you, you actually need to bear the consequences. But you know what Jesus encourages us by saying? He says, follow my example. And you know what the encouragement is? If we keep loving someone and that person doesn't reciprocate, focus on obeying Christ. And I can tell you, I've seen it again and again, both in my life and in some people's lives. When they choose to obey God, God always swings things around. God always swings things around. You do right with a pure heart, you'll be surprised what God can do. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Uprightly means according to God's rules. Do what God says. You know, if we actually give up, you know what He says? It shows that our love is not perfected in Christ. Which means our love, that when we love that person, get this, when we love that person, if he doesn't reciprocate, what's the right thing we need to do? Keep loving them, right? But if we don't and stop, what are we telling the world and the Lord? I love because I'm hoping to get something from that person. Isn't it true? I need reciprocation to keep me going. No, if God's love is already in us, you're already getting your source, getting things from the source. And that's why it's possible for us, and we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I say, God, you know it's so hard, but God, through your power of the Holy Spirit, I will, because why? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Alright? Keep on loving that person. And may Ambassador Baptist Church, even though people may look down on you as a Christian, I was talking to someone, I think last week, and this person was SMSing me, and he was telling me that this person was involved in this. Have you heard of BSF, like Bible Study Fellowship, kind of thing? So everyone is involved, and one of the things that the BSF teacher was telling this particular person, I told the person, you should never go there, you should come to FBI, and the person is praying about that. So, but this person was saying, the BSF leader was telling her, you know, we're all in the body of Christ, so you need to compromise what you believe. All the groups must compromise what they believe. Excuse me? We're not just compromising man's doctrine. This is what God taught us. We're not supposed to compromise that. Okay, and so we need to be gentle. We need to be non-offensive, but you know, we need to be firm in what God says, because He is our Savior, not men. All right, and so keep loving the other person. Therefore, you see, the principle of light comes through. If our lights are filled with the light of Christ, and no darkness can overcome it. Can darkness overcome light? Think about that. This whole place is dark, right? Once I switch on the light, can darkness push the light back? No, the streams will spread. And some of you, whoa! Darkness cannot overcome light. But which means that if we cannot love, our light might be very dim. Can I encourage you, Romans chapter 12, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good of God. Okay, the light test I'm going to give you, number one, you can fill out yourself. Do I realize that God is completely light and there's no darkness in Him? Just circle it for yourself. Okay, this is something constructed, but the light test number two, is God's light reflected in my life? Just put a yes or a no, okay? Number three, are there areas of darkness that I must admit? Just keep it between you and yourself. Don't tell your friend, even just between you and God. If yes, then what are they? Then name them. Things that God brings up to your mind. Verse 4, am I constantly occupied in the light? Constantly, when I talk about constantly, means constantly. Even if there's a shade, just put no. All of us will probably say no, but let me qualify that by, are we always thinking about God's truth? Are we thinking the right things about people and situations? Or well, must we admit sometimes we do, yeah, the guy, he's so whatever, you know, and those thoughts come in. You realize when we're talking negative of people, that's darkness. That's darkness. Philippians 4:8, what does it tell us? Whatsoever things are lovely, think on those things. You know what? There's a purpose for that verse, because men by nature always think evil of one another. Agree? Agree? It's just our evil inclination. Those people who have difficulties with thought processes, you know what I need to do? Memorize scripture. Wherewithal your young man cleanse his way by taking heed. Don't just memorize, but taking heed, obeying those scriptures. And then with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It takes memorizing, it takes actually obedience to the word, okay? So am I always thinking about people and situations in the right way, okay? The next one is, do I always say the right things about people? Do I say the right things about people? Yes or no? Do I always have our speech seasoned with salt so that the other person can bear it? Or sometimes, do I say things sometimes? Sometimes intentionally, unintentionally, might hurt the person. Do I say things that will build the other person up? No, I'm not talking about flattering. Wow, you're so handsome today. I'm not talking about the kind of... I'm saying, it could be that someone may be having a rough day, say, hey, good to see you today. Thanks for coming. The kind of thing. I'm always encouraged when I see you. I don't bluff. I'm just saying truthfully. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes, some people... I always get this. People say, Pastor, you know what? Sometimes I say this. I feel I'm a hypocrite. Huh? Can I... I've learned it. I've taught it for many years. Then I realized, you're not being hypocrite. You're just overcoming your flesh. Because the flesh will want to say, waste my time. Come on, someone cannot wait for 10 minutes or more. This guy always late. When he asked me to come. But you know what? If you change and say, well, I know I'm, but it's okay. You know, thank God I'm here. Hey, good to see you. Not being a hypocrite. The reason why we feel we're hypocrites is because we want to live in the flesh. We want to be ourselves. God's will is not to be ourselves. God's will is for us to be like Christ. And that's why the things we say. But can I say the more we be like Christ, overcoming our flesh, all Christians, I taught my children today, all Christians are overcomers. All Christians are overcomers. In other words, you are able to overcome. If you say you cannot overcome, it may be the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is not in you. You can overcome. Amen? And how many of you honestly have overcome things? You don't have to put up your hand. Some of you, I know, you've shared your testimony. You have overcome things. If you cannot overcome, then the power of Christ is not in you. Those who have overcome, can you say, amen, God, yeah, I had this terrible thing, but no, because of Christ, I have overcome. So even the things we say, we can overcome. Saying things that build others up. Always having words of truth and always with grace. You know what? Some people will say, you know what? The person is so fat. He's so useless. You don't say that. But it's the truth for us. I know it's the truth. But you know what? Things can be said in a more encouraging way. Or I've always told my children, and I don't want to enforce this, but you know what? If there's nothing nice to say, just don't say anything. Smile. Or think of something nice like, oh, you got a nice shirt on or something like that, you know. Okay? Say something encouraging. Number one, deeds done for others. Am I occupied in the light? Deeds done for others is always for others first before myself. When there's a buffet, do I go first or do I wait for other people to go? Or if there's something that, wow, something nice, do I go first? Or do I, okay, let's just wait first. And you know what, there's something that we need to learn, like putting others before ourselves. This done for the Lord? Am I studying? Am I working? And am I serving the Lord first before myself? This done without hypocrisy? I'm doing it without a hidden agenda. This done honestly? This done always to honor God first? In other words, you don't even consider the middle ground. Everything I do must honor God. Okay? And then question number 5. Do I love my brothers and sisters unconditionally? Or do I need them to respond in a certain way before I love them? The last question. What's the last question? There's no last question, right? The last question is this. How many no's do you have versus yes? I've got no's too. You know what? God wants us to walk in the light. Are we? Did we pass the light test? You know what's the passing mark? 6 upon 6. That's Christ's perfection. Oh, Brother Joshua, you're so discouraging. The goal is not to be discouraging. All of us, Brother Joshua, Sister Shaolin, Kui Chi, Joseph, Joshua, all of us have our own individual course to run before God. We are not in competition with one another in our spiritual life. Amen? Because some of you definitely run faster than me. Okay? But all of us have our individual Christian lives. Some of us are here, some of us are here, some of us are here, some of us are sitting on the sidelines. We need to get back into our track and start running. And maybe God just said, I just want you to take the first 5 steps. And this is what I'm highlighting in the light. So just do that. Can I say this? We are not in competition in our Christian life against one another. We are here to encourage one another to run the race. Yes, some of us may have other things which no one knows that, you know what, God can help. And you may need a friend to maybe run alongside you for a while, and then after that, when you're able to do it, you can run. Does that make sense? Okay? Let me ask you a question. How did you do on the light test? And may God help us to always be, as Ambassador Baptist Church, to always be in the light. Let's close for a word of prayer, right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the people. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness to just sit through this hour of listening to your word. And I pray, Lord, that it will be a genuine desire to want, Lord, to be like you. Lord, thy word teaches us in the book of John that Christ is the light of this world, because you say publicly, I am the force, I am the light of this world, the one that emanates with truth, with grace, with illumination. And Father, those who claim to be Christians mustn't have any areas of darkness in their lives. Lord, God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will touch us. Lord, in a gentle yet firm way, holding our hand, urging us to let go of the darkness. God, it might cause pain because that the reason for some people keeping that darkness perhaps is because of the pain that they will feel if they do that. For some people, it could be the love of sin. Lord, for some who love darkness rather than light, Lord, may today the light of thy word will dispel that darkness. It could be a relationship. It could be a deed. It could be a thought. It could be a habit in their life that they are doing that they know is in darkness. No one knows but God. And Lord, I may know many things about many people, but God, only you know everything about them. And so, Lord, I ask that you would do a searching word tonight. Because as your people, we want you to search us. If your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask, has God spoken to us about some area of our lives that might be in darkness? Our Savior is light, and He wants us to walk in the light. And when we walk in the light and have the light of Christ in our life, we are able to show light to others as well. Now I'm just asking, as your pastor, as your shepherd saying this, is there anyone who would say, Brother Johnny, pray for me? And that God, the Holy Spirit, and His light will fill my heart once again, that I might give up those areas of shadiness. And when you put up your hand, it's not an indication of your weakness, but in fact, it's an indication of your submission to God. And I'm not going to... We are all in this together in terms of growing, but you say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. That God has shown me some areas. Amen, I can see that hand. Is there anyone else? Can I see those hands? That hand too. Just put it up and pull it down. Amen. Put it up and pull it down. Is there anyone else? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you that God will show you the light. Amen. I see that hand. Every child, some children, some adults. Is there anyone else? There's some darkness. Amen. I see that hand. For those who have put up their hand, can I just encourage you? Amen. I see that hand too. Write down in your own heart or maybe a piece of paper when you go home or along the way home. What is the area of darkness that God is showing you? And then seek God's word with regards to it. And ask God, I want to overcome this area. And Lord, help me. If you need some help with verses, you just can SMS me, email me. I'm very glad to sit down with you and show you how things can be done. Is there anyone else? It's between you and God. But it's an area of darkness. Surrender it. Let God's light. I can tell you it's so refreshing to be in God's light once again. Is there anyone else? His grace, His mercy will be still with us. Is there anyone else? Let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hands that have gone up. It's only your work between you and them. God, but we are all brothers and sisters on the road of this life. We need one another. But more than anything, we need the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. The cleansing work of your word. The Lord, as we memorize it, as we study it, as we read it, God, our hearts will be resolved to stay in the light. The Father, there will be no shades in our life. There will be no shadows in our life. There will be no nothing or things that we read or sing or do, Lord, that will add to that darkness. For the sake of our lives now, for the sake of our family and our future families. that God, even the children in our church, the Sunday school children, can see the light of Christ in the adults. May the teenagers who put up their hand, Father, experience, Lord, a changing work in their lives as they yield to you too, to make sure every part of their life is in the light. God, we live in a world of darkness. God, help us, because the darker the night, the brighter will the light be when you allow us to stand. And Father, I pray for every person. Perhaps there are some who are in their hearts struggling, Lord. Oh God, give them the strength to surrender that area to your light. And I pray tonight that the entrance of thy word will give light and will give understanding, Lord, to us. Thank you, Lord, for the patience of your Holy Spirit with us. Perhaps today, the certain things will be brought up, that has been brought up. Lord, may it change our life. Father, may 2 months from now, that area would have been overcome, or three months, or 4 months, or whatever months. But God, may it move towards being more and more in the light. Lord, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will pass the light test. That God, when your Holy Spirit looks at us, it will not just be doing the right things, but also knowing the right things in our hearts. Oh Lord, help us to learn from the example of the Ephesian church, not just to stand strong on doctrine, but to love with all our hearts. Love you, love each other, love the world. And God will thank you for what you're going to do. Bless Ambassador, bless every member that has come, bless everyone who are willingly listening to this and saying, God, Holy Spirit, help me, that I might be the light of Christ. Because thy word teaches us that we are the light of this world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Lord, I pray our light will shine. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.